Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, and please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past. Featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis on the day's biggest stories, Locked On MLB is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. How's it going, everyone? Today's Tuesday, June 22nd, 2021. Welcome to the Locked On Phillies podcast. I, of course, am your host, Dan Wilson, and today the Phillies get started with a quick two-game series at home before heading back on the road up north to New York this weekend. But a two-game series at home against the Washington Nationals, a team the Phillies have had success against this season, and can't say that about a lot of teams. They sit in the bottom of the National League East. But if it's Phillies and Nationals, you know what that means. We talk to our good friend here on the show, Josh Neighbors from Locked On Nationals, for a little Locked On Phillies, Locked On Nats crossover. So I could sit here and keep introing, tell you what this series means, but I'm sure you'd much rather hear that conversation with myself and Josh Neighbors.
All right, when the Phillies and the Nationals play, that means that Dan Wilson, the host of Locked On Phillies, and myself, Josh Neighbors, the host of Locked On Nationals, join forces. Dan, you're smart, because Ryan Finkelstein of Locked On Mets declined my invitation to a crossover show before the Mets National Series. Paid for it dearly. The Nats won 3 of 4. So smart move by you.
Well, we've done crossovers each of the past two Phillies National Series, and the Phillies have won both of those series.
Yeah, so there,
so yeah, what you're telling me is,
yes, don't flake on me. Don't. Well, Ryan didn't flake. Ryan just had another episode planned.
What you're telling me is that Locked On hosts who cross over with you are guaranteed to have their teams beat up on the Nationals, and those who don't actually lead the Nationals to wins.
Yeah, except for the Diamondbacks, which they should.
They're just so bad.
I remember that conversation with a friend, Millard Thomas, and he was like, "Well, I think the Diamondbacks are trying to be good." I'm like, no. The Diamondbacks are not trying to be good. Pavin Smith's your best player, and you and I are both familiar with Estrubel Cabrera. We know if he's hitting 3 or 4 for you, your team's not in a good spot.
Not great.
The Nationals had him hitting 3 and 4, at times over the last few years. So yeah, but
I think the last time the Diamondbacks won a road game, I think we were still campers. Ten years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious, and they're horrible. Also horrible, the Sixers last night. So you were joking before we got on here. The talk of Philadelphia sports definitely is the Phillies right now, right? That's what everybody cares about.
Yeah, everyone's really buzzing on the radio and on TV and on Twitter today about the Phillies losing 2 of 3 in San Francisco, which I can totally understand. But no, yeah, it's not a great day here in Philly. I was at the Sixers game last night. Didn't get home till around 6 a.m. because I immediately, I just grinded out, right? This is the business. Immediately went into the offices at 94 WIP, cutting up some audio, a lot of juicy end of season press conferences, highlights. Of course, the play of the game that everyone's talking about is Ben Simmons passing up a dunk. But, you got to put that in the rear view mirror, at least here for like 20, 30 minutes. I can talk about the Phillies because now we have 500 baseball to carry us for the rest of the summer. Who needs the Sixers, right?
Well, 500 baseball, it can be, the thing about it, it can be changed in a day, right? Because one day you're below, the next day you're above. So,
it has been changed. Yeah, the Phillies are a game below 500, which history tells us. That means they'll win tomorrow versus the Nats, get to 500. It's one step forward, one step back, constantly treading water. They might go on a little bit of a run. Road struggles continue. They go 2 and 4 on this road trip against the Dodgers and the Giants, which I get it. It's too difficult. NL West teams, and it's a West Coast trip, but they were playing really well in the month of June against 7-2, I believe it was. They were 7-2 on the month heading into that stretch, and now you just drop 4 games, and it's like you're back to 500. It's hard to really buy into this team, and I've mentioned this a couple of times. It's hard to really buy into this team when you see them go on, a streaky homestand, because the second they go on the road or play some legitimate teams, it's just going to revert back to the mean here. And the Nationals, fortunately, are a team that the Phillies have beat up on here a little bit. The Phillies and Nats played in the second week of May at Nats Park, and then they played 3 at Citizens Bank Park earlier this month. And the Phillies hadn't won a single series in between those two series. Like, it was 3 weeks apart. And then they won that National Series, and then they took 2 of 3 from the Braves, and they won 2 from the Yankees. And everyone was like, the Phillies are playing good baseball. Like, they're hot. And then they go to LA, lose 2 of 3. They go to San Francisco, lose 2 of 3. And now we're back, I don't want to say to square one, but back where the Phillies were. And hopefully they can, it's two games against the Nationals here. Hopefully they can take two. The Nationals have obviously struggled this season, but
They're playing a lot better.
Oh, I was going to say record wise, they were struggling more when they played in the last two times. Record wise, they're a game back of the Phillies.
Well, it's the funny part is that you and I talked before the season and we had said that these two teams felt pretty similar about where they are in the standings. And
at the end of the day, maybe that's exactly what
I mean. They're both on pace to be right now, like around 500, which is what we thought they would be, and miss out in the playoffs. So that's kind of where both teams are. Now, I would like to say this. Our other friends, Aaron Layden and Dylan Short, Locked On Braves, you know, to say, oh, the Nationals, you know, we knew they were going to be bad. I mean, like this, look, it was not going to be dreadful forever. Now, the weird part is it's been pitching of Eric Fetty and Joe Ross at times. It's kind of helped them out as of late. But, you know, you go back to those Phillies series and the one at Nats Park, the Phillies came from behind in one of the games. And then I think the two of the wins, because the Nats won the Friday night game at Citizens Bank. Then the Nationals, like they should have won 2 of 3, right? I think the Phillies are 4-2.
The Phillies are great at that, by the way. They have a number of times have either won game one in the series, lost the next two, or lost game one in the series, won game one, lost the next two, lost game one, won the next two. Game one, I'd have to sit here and run the math on it as I sit with my schedule here in front of me. But game one for the Phillies this year has not been super indicative of who's actually going to win the series.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those weird things, right? You get off to a good start, other team gets off to a good start, and then other team rallies. And the, you know, what's interesting now is that, look, the Nationals are playing good baseball, but they've not been doing that on the road. They've won in the last week, six of their last seven games. I actually think it's seven of their last eight dating back to Sunday. So playing pretty good baseball right now. Now, three of those were against the Pirates, but they did take 3 of 4 from the first place Mets. So once again, I think the Mets this week, they're getting back McNeil, Davis, and Conforto, I believe. So I think we're about to see who that team really is, and not to mention Carrasco.
They've been plagued with injuries and they've sat in first place basically the entire time.
Yeah, and their offense hasn't been great, but their pitching has been absolutely phenomenal so far this year. So I think, you know, it's a two-game series, but I think for the Phillies, this one's kind of about getting back on schedule. I think for the Nationals, you're looking to split because then you've got four in Miami, and the Nationals do beat up on bad teams. So I think for them, it's just not about – don't drop two. Keep that good momentum and give yourself a little bit of, you know, still, okay, you won 8 of your last 10. They are 8-2 in their last 10 right now. So you can kind of keep that momentum going into that. That's what you want. For the Phillies, I mean, Dan, it just seems like they need, you know, they're trying to, you want to get 2 in a row so you can get your head back above 500.
Well, that's the name of the game. I was going to ask, what do you attribute the most to this recent Nationals winning streak? Because for the Phillies, it was all the things they had been doing poorly. If you look back a week ago, they started to hit the ball. They actually have been hitting the ball better in the month of June. And one thing that you've noticed all around baseball is just the offense. I get it's the middle of summer, but it is basically really sparked here since the spider tack story came out. I forget what the exact number is, but batting averages up like, I think 20 points it was as of a couple of days ago since that story came out. So maybe there's something there.
You know,
maybe it's the summer. Maybe it's the Phillies just figuring out how to hit, like, you know, anyone can hit in stretches. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not sure if you've been to any Phillies games recently, but I kind of used my, you know, I went last week and.
The last game I was at was last Saturday, the 12th. It was a 4 o'clock game against the Yankees.
So I watched Cueto and Ross, and both those guys, like, either they really love to adjust their hats between every pitch, or they're, you know, there is something on their hat that they're using, which I'm totally fine with. But I don't buy the idea. Like, baseball,
like, they're stopping, game, you're saying?
Yeah, they're not going to stop. Baseball is a game where people always get edges, right? You know, if you have a guy on second, you're stealing signs, right? Because that's not cheating, though.
There's nothing in the rules that says you can't.
But that's, you know, you're getting yourself an edge, right? You know what I mean? You got a guy on second, you can see into the catcher.
Using substances it's against the rules.
I mean, I don't, but to me, it's like, okay, you're using it to get grip on the baseball to throw it. Like, to me, you know, look, spider tack, yes, but am I upset about, if you're upset about Tyler Glasnow using sunscreen, like, you know, I got a little bit of a problem with that. But here's the thing too. This is every level of baseball. And Like,
you, and it's nothing new. I get it.
Like, look at the College World Series right now. The K numbers are out of this world crazy. And there's a lot of good pitchers in there. But I guarantee you those guys are doing it too at that level. Especially those guys are doing it in some
way, shape, or form. Well, they're pitching to try and get drafted. Yeah, pitching exactly. In front of scouts. Of course they are. And they're pitching on the biggest stage of their lives thus far.
And I have a big problem with them, you know, just kind of getting to this, like, because today we're recording, it's on Monday. So this is the day that they're supposed to start the alleged crackdown. Number one, the umpires don't want to enforce it. Like, I was watching that game and, you know, you could tell the umpire could see, you know, he's looking right at Johnny Cueto every single time. He knows what's going on. They don't want to get involved with this.
One more thing they got
to
do.
Right. It's one more thing they have to do. So, you know, that's kind of where, like, they're getting into it. But here's the thing is that now baseball is going to fundamentally change a rule in the middle of the season. I have a problem with that because
I would argue they're fundamentally changing the enforcement of a rule in the middle of the season.
Well, yes, but like,
which is,
it's going to affect the quality of the play.
Like, yes, it will. Well, so
there are tangible aspects that are going
to change. Would they be better served just waiting to the off season for a year and waiting to the off season to say, yes, now we're going to care? Okay.
Yes, that's what I would do because, like, and once again, I was really on the same page as Tyler Glasnow. I'm not sure if you saw his comments where he said, look, I've got to, you know, that game back. I don't think everybody's going to get hurt, but he said, I really had to choke my pitches because I was getting used to not using sunscreen. He said, I started to feel really sore afterwards, after the Nationals game he pitched and the next game where he got injured. And I'm not saying it's going to happen to everybody, but this is one of those things where you need to give the guys the offseason to adjust to it. You know, I would kind of say, hey, look, we're going to start, you know, looking to enforce it more. We're going to explore enforcing it more. And, you know, we'll make a decision on it in the offseason. Like, here's the thing is I'm not sensing any outrage from fans about this stuff. Nobody was mad. No fans were mad about, look, fans are mad about the Astros cheating using video cameras. Yeah. But, like, this is something, you know, this is, you know, like,
well,
this
that,
is something to me.
That, so there's one tangible, there's a couple tangible differences I see here. Number one, it is very, I think it's easier to understand to the average person. Like, we're not major league pitchers. So it is a little bit harder to quantify in our own minds, even for us who watch baseball all the time, how much of an advantage something like spider tack would or would not give a pitcher. And the advantage might be different depending on who you are. What the Astros did is incredibly easy to understand, very blatantly against the rules, something that is more frowned upon, more faux pas to do. And it was one specific team doing it, and it led them to a World Series. So they get zero benefit of the doubt and get basically every, like, the X put on their back because everyone knows that they did this. And basically because a COVID outbreak at the beginning of last season happens and then there's no fans in the stands last year, they get away from
getting heckled.
And they, not to say that they haven't, they went to Yankee Stadium this year. People had trash cans, people had signs in spring training, people have signs getting removed,
which is all fair game. Let's be honest.
Which is all fair game, but they would have had like a national tour last year where it would have just been like, hey, come out and boo the Astros.
Right.
They kind of got away. Like, they just became the villains of the league. When you have guys on every team doing this and you can't pinpoint, hey, we don't, for fans anyway, you can't say, hey, we just like your guy for cheating because our guy's cheating too.
Yeah.
And
I don't view it as cheating. That's
well,
the
and okay. So that's so okay, why, if even, you so why have it in the rules?
Goo,
why,
spider
so
tack?
Why, yeah. Sure. So why have it in the rules?
More Locked On Phillies coming right up, but first have to tell you about Freshly. Dinner time can be chaotic, but with Freshly, it's easy. Their chefs take care of your meals a few nights a week, and they take the pressure off you. We're all trying to get in shape and eat right. Freshly can help. Their delicious meals are designed by nutritionists and cooked by chefs, making it easier to eat better. Stressed, tired, don't feel like cooking? Food that's fast doesn't have to be fast food. Freshly offers quality meals without the hard work of prepping, cooking, and cleaning. Freshly offers chef-made, nutrient-packed, delicious meals delivered fresh to your door, no cooking required. Grocery shopping and cooking can be a pain, especially right now. And with Freshly, you don't have to. Your meals arrive cooked and fresh every week, so you can keep your fridge stocked and skip that trip to the store. Ordering is easy. Visit Freshly.com and choose from over 30 delicious, satisfying, better-for-you meals like steak peppercorn, sausage baked penne, or their chicken pesto bowl. Freshly can fit your lifestyle with a variety of plans and meals to pick from that work for your dietary needs, preferences, tastes, and family size. And now, our listeners can try Freshly for just $6.16 a meal. It's $6.16 per meal. Stop searching the internet for healthy food near me every night and start living life freshly. Your meals are always delivered fresh, never frozen, and are ready to heat and enjoy in just 3 minutes. With new meals added each week, Freshly brings the convenience of chef-made, nutritionist-designed classics right to your kitchen. Right now, Freshly is offering our listeners $40 off your first two orders when you go to freshly.com/lockedon. Stop stressing about dinner. Go to freshly.com/lockedon for $40 off your first two orders. That's freshly.com/lockedon for the $40 off promo for your first two orders. Also have to tell you about Locked On here on the Locked On podcast. We have to tell you about Wealthfront. Also have to tell you about Wealthfront. If you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds, they're not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront, they make it easy. They have the right tools for every kind of portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on the preferences you can control. Wealthfront can help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can cover more than the low annual 25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. All you need is $500 to get started to grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB. That's WELTHFORNT.com/lockedonMLB to start growing your savings. Wealthfront.com/lockedonMLB to get started today.
So, because to me, they've made so many changes recently that they're trying to, I mean, I don't really know what the objective here is, because nobody here is saying, sure, spider tax. I mean, if you're sensing that, like, that's fine. But like, it, you know, because I mean, you can tell the ball on that too. I mean, the substance is so distinct that you can definitely tell on that. That's like, I mean, you know, people were talking about the Sports Illustrated article where it's like, yeah, balls are sticking to somebody's hand, things of that nature. Like, sure, shouldn't be having that. You know, Pineda's got whatever it was caked on his neck. Yeah, you know, hide it a little bit better than that. But I mean, guys
They got it on the glove, the strings of the glove. You've gotten
the guys are touching their gloves, you know, and just doing that real quick. And I'm not somebody who thinks it's a gigantic deal. And here's the thing, hitters on the whole. I've not heard a lot of outrage, because the big thing for them is, like, their job is to make adjustments. Like, I think the down offense was only going to be temporary. Baseball hitters, I don't think this is going to be like a multi-year trend. The guys are able to adjust.
Also, we have seen strikeouts up for a while.
But they just changed the baseball, right? So it, like,
would you make it what Pete Alonso said?
He said a couple things. I wasn't necessarily on board with all of what he said. But
I mean, the part about the baseball being changed year to year, dictating who the free agent class is.
That I don't buy at all. That I do not agree with. I think, because it makes no sense. What, that wouldn't help. Who would that help? That would help the players, right?
I mean, unless the argument is that you would do it in years.
So do dead in the baseball like this year because there's a bunch of free agent shortstops coming up?
So it would actually, you like, it would help reverse the owners. It would help the owners.
They're not deadening the baseball to make.
I mean, sure there could be incentive one way or the other, but I don't.
But like, that's so specific to be like, yeah, we got some free agents coming up this year, you know. So we got deadening.
So what do you make of them in general, just changing the baseball as a whole? Like, we don't hear this.
I don't like it.
So it's like in other sports, like a few years ago, you talked about changes within the middle of the season. I didn't like a few years ago when balls are flying out of the ballpark left and right, and then we get to the playoffs and they deaden and they're like working in deadened balls. Like, shouldn't you be using the same? First of all, how hard is it to figure out what kind of baseball you should be using? I played through high school, but we had one kind of baseball, and I get it's a Rawlings Major League Baseball, but how hard is it to decide on this is the baseball we're using? We're not going to try and spark more offense by juicing these balls, and we're not going to try and completely deaden the offense by taking it away. Like, at a certain point, don't you just say, this is the ball, go play with it?
Well, that's the problem, is they're overreacting to trends, right? And so in a sport where it's all about adjustments, right? I mean, everybody's always making adjustments. That's the issue.
Or they should be anyway.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, like, the good – well, that's what the good players do, right? I mean, the good players stay in the league. You know, the guys, you know, been able – I mean, like a guy like, you know, a good example would be Andrew McCutchen, Gene Segura, right? As they get older, you're, you know, pitchers, same way too. John Lester's of the world, your Bartolo Colon's of the world, right? Johnny Cueto's of the world. As you get older, you make adjustments to whatever it is that you have to do to make sure you can stay in the league and keep going. And that the problem is now is that the constants are being taken away, right? So the constants in terms of the quality of the baseball, the constants in terms of, can I use sunscreen or rosin or whatever it is, on the ball, right? So once you start playing with those factors, then you're starting to mess up general trends, and you can't be overreacting to those trends then, because they're not authentic or natural. And so to me, like, the whole, you know, the situational hitting has been bad. It's going to get better. Like, I don't think, you know, if the baseballs are deadened and offense is down, then teams have no choice. Why would you stress launch angle if you can't hit as many home runs, right? There's no point in doing it. So eventually, you know, these are professionals. They're going to catch up to the standards. So but the problem is, once again, once you start playing with everything, that's when there's no consistency. And I want consistency. That's what I ask for.
I would love consistency too. What baseball are you going back to? Are you leaning more on the offense side of the baseball, the defensive side of? Okay, so you want the juiced balls again, or what?
Not all the way there. I mean, like, there are a couple that they were flying out of the park. You're like, that's a routine to right field.
Like a pop up,
right? You're like, oh no! And it's like, when the humid days, it's like that ball's, I mean, that's not coming.
Pop up, that's 320 feet. It looks like the St.
Louis Arch. Yeah, it looks like the St. Louis Arch out there, just right into right field. So, I mean, I think, like, there's a way to find a middle ground between the two. You know, and once again, I would talk to pitchers on this, and I think, because every single time I hear hitters talk about it, like, Cliff Floyd was on MLB Network. I'm not saying he speaks for everybody, but he was like, yeah, I knew guys were doing stuff. Like, I didn't really get mad about it.
Of course they knew it.
Like, they didn't really get mad about it.
It's hard to
not. Like, kind of the way it is. Like, it's just basically a challenge then to be like, okay, what can I do to fix that? What can I do to beat them? You know? So I think that's how.
Aren't you rewarding the wrong thing? Like, if you don't, in a world where you don't enforce it, aren't you rewarding guys for breaking the rules just by not enforcing it? And those who actually listen to the rules, like, it would be like, I'm not saying it's the same thing. I'm not saying it's going to define the era or it's as big of an issue, but go back to the steroid era. The guy who doesn't take steroids gets punished for not doing so.
So here's the thing is with this situation, it's like, it's so widespread, right? I mean, there are so few guys who do it, and it makes sense. Middle of summer, your hands are sweaty. You know what I mean? You're playing.
That's why you have the rosin bag, right?
Right. But why not, like, get a little extra grip on the pitch?
You know, well, sure. And if I knew that I wasn't going to get caught, I would do whatever I could.
Yeah, but come on. Sunscreen is not the difference between whether Tyler Glasnow gives up three home runs or two home runs. You know what I mean? Like,
obviously thinks it's making some difference if he's using. Well,
but what I'm saying is, like, in the end of the day, it's going to come down to your ability, right? Even the guys that we know are using stuff can still get tagged. It's not like this insurmountable chasm that they have to cross. So for me, once again. Baseball is horrible at handling these kind of situations, whether it be like the COVID thing last year with the Dodgers or the baseball being changed year to year. Like, if you're trying to grow this game, which they need to do right now, because it's baseball is becoming hockey. It's so localized. Baseball is always been localized.
As of a few weeks ago, I think I saw, and I don't have the numbers in front of me to back it up, I believe the ratings were actually up from a year ago.
Right, but overall popularity, like, so, you know, right?
Yes,
now
it is very localized.
And you work in local radio too, and I, you know, looking for jobs elsewhere, talking to people, you know, talking to some guys at a radio station in another big market, and they're like, yeah, I mean, and for a team that's good, I'm not gonna say which team it is, but they're like, yeah, we just on a day to day basis, like, you know, nobody really cares, you know what I mean? And that's the big issue.
There's 162 games. You can't, like, today, right, in Philly, you're reacting to a game 7 season ending loss. The day after an Eagles game, there's 16 of them. And when the Eagles win a game, it's like the Phillies winning for 2 weeks, like winning every game for 2 weeks. And if with the Eagles losing a game, it's like every game for 2 weeks.
There are some cities that are exceptions. you know,
I'm just talking about here. Like I'm speaking right. to here. You can react to NFL. Okay, now we're at 17 games, whatever it is. You, every single game dictates the outcome of your season so much, and so much changes
right.
with injuries that there is a week's worth of stuff to get to. You can't even get to everything you want to because you're living and dying on every play. You can't do that with 162 baseball games. Like you just,
for example, 2019 Nats were 12 games, 1931. And remember, Dan, they comfortably made the playoffs. Like, you know, I think they ended up, I'm not sure how many games.
There's time to make ground up.
But like, yeah, there's so much time. You know, I used the example of the Mets a few years ago.
No, I love that. But I turn on the Phillies every night and it's like, I mean, it's annoying when it becomes a recurring thing. But if they go out there and have a stinker in isolation, I'm not like, wow, this right. really sucks. Like I'm losing my mind here. It's like they play tomorrow.
Right. And so that is, you know, here's the thing is that
it's spreading your energy out more
right.
over the course of time.
They've got the ability to go to the game right now because there's so many good young stars, right? There's so many good young stars across the game of baseball. The Atlanta loves Ronald Acuna. You know, obviously if Bryce plays well, people love Bryce Harper, right? You know, good example, the Mets, you know, if Lindor, I guess, plays well, even they love Lindor. They love DeGrom is a good example there too. You know, there are a lot of those guys in Tatis out west and, you know, it goes on and on. Got a chance to grow this game. And the problem is, and this is going to be even accentuated more once we hit this summer because of the labor dispute. This sport can't get out of its way. And it continues to be like that. And I feel like this is another example. Like nobody knows what this enforcement is going to look like. I mean, we're going to be yanking guys off the mound, you know, in certain times. So it's just going to be
hopefully, they're hoping it's just enough to scare guys. I mean, if you didn't believe that people were doing it before, Garrett Cole's answer was much less than convincing, almost convinces.
I thought it was a good answer, Dan. I thought he really denied.
You thought he really denied it well? You want him as your witness in court?
Yeah, no, he was strong. He'd be strong on the stand.
Yeah, awful. Like, if you're going to cheat, be better at lying about
cheating. Yeah, I know.
Cheating.
So this series is going to be very interesting because Zach Wheeler versus Max Scherzer is...
Last week here in Philly, kind of got overshadowed again by the Sixers series, and they had a brutal game 5 loss, but we had Wheeler, Kershaw, and it was at 10 o'clock at night on a weeknight. So, you know, I was working at the station at the time and I got weird sleep hours and I have weird hours because of it. So I'm up late watching the game and I was really enjoying watching it, but this is people are still stinging about the Sixers, but now the Phillies, again, they're carrying the summer until training camp around here. So in Eagles training camp around here. So we got a good pitching matchup here on Tuesday at Citizens Bank Park, again, between Zach Wheeler, who has by far been the ace of the Philly staff this season, going up against Max Scherzer, who's been a really, really good pitcher for a really long time, the same way Clayton Kershaw has. You know, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
I want to just, like, every single time I talk to you, I feel like we revisit the point that, remember when people laughed at that contract they gave Zach Wheeler? And
he's done everything.
I mean, the foresight to be like, yeah, we're going to pay him for the guy he can be. And also too, the
part I was one of them. Like, I'll admit before the season, I was like, you know, he had a really good season last year. It was by far his best year. It was over a much smaller sample size. It was a 60 game season, not 162. All these guys only got a handful of starts. And I'm saying everyone can be high on Zach Wheeler. Maybe he just reverts back to a number two or number three. It turns out one of the Phillies ace pitchers is going to do that. That was Aaron Nola. He's pitching closer to a three than an ace this season. Now the Phillies overall in the top three of the rotation has been good enough to win. Zach Wheeler's just been tremendous. Guy's going to be an all-star. Zach Eflin, you can make the argument, has been your second best pitcher. Aaron Nola just got shelled in San Francisco the other day. It's hard to buy into him too, because he goes out and pitches great against the Yankees. And that was probably his best start since 6 weeks beforehand when he goes complete game shutout against the St. Louis Cardinals. But other than that, he's been fine. He's been good, but he's not anywhere close to what you would expect Aaron Nola to be, not nearly living up to how well we've seen him pitch in previous seasons. And he's always had struggles pitching in September and pitching in big games, but the home road splits for him are real. The just struggling overall, he doesn't look like he has his sharpest stuff, or he hasn't for most starts this season. I'm still optimistic that he's capable of having a strong second half because we've seen it from him before, but he has really taken a step back as the face of this Phillies rotation. And Zach Wheeler has done above and beyond to fill that void.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was really curious to the fact that he was able to stay in the division, right, and still be this good. You know, sometimes you think changes
facing scenery, the same guys. Yeah.
Right. Change of scenery, get totally away from where you were. And I think he's been awesome to watch. This is a legit two aces pitching matchup that we've gotten. And big question here is Max Scherzer groin injury. It's what he's coming off of right now. How will he look? So that's something to watch is look at the mobility. And because said it a million times, groin injuries, we saw with Anthony Davis, time. The only thing that can help you, time. There's no magic wand that can help you with that injury. It's one of those that just needs rest. Let's see how he looks. It says undecided right now on ESPN, but he walked by reporters yesterday or this weekend at Nats Park at some point and said, see you guys Tuesday. So, you know, we think he should be good to go. And then the second pitching matchup, I'm blanking now. Who is the
game? So I believe it's matchup? Eric Fetty versus Velasquez.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So Eric Fetty. Okay. So this is an interesting one. Last time we saw Vince Velasquez, he hit Austin Voth in the face. So not saying there's any, you know, like true animosity there, but it was unfortunate.
The final segment of today's Locked On Phillies podcast is coming right up, but first I have to tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. Did you know Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors? When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors by now, you're missing out. It's coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's certainly something for everyone. If you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mixed box where you get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Flavors, they have 17 to 18 grams of protein, 130 to 180 calories, 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Again, 9 amazing flavors, all tasty, and they're all healthy. Don't know what to get? Order today. Get that raspberry, that mint brownie, whatever you like. How about that mixed box where you get 2 of everything? Go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, use that promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your first order. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Also have to tell you about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season, of course, is in full swing. You can track all of your action at betonline.ag. Get all the latest news, odds, and info on all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to betonline.ag on your laptop or mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams make their runs throughout the playoffs. Head to the website, use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use that promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And lastly, I have to tell you about RockAuto.com. This episode of the Locked On Phillies podcast is brought to you by RockAuto.com. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all of the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing only the brands their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to RockAuto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Why choose to spend 30, 50, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? RockAuto.com is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers online for more than 20 years. Rock Auto prices are reliably low for every customer. They have everything you could need: brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even that new carpet. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto part needs. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It's RockAuto.com.
Eric Fetty's on a tear right now. Eric Fetty is on an absolute tear.
I was going to say, I'm looking at this pitching matchup. These numbers don't look like Eric Fetty numbers.
Yeah, his last.
His ERA is down to 3.33. The last time the Phillies saw him, I think it was over 5.
Yep, he has not allowed a run in his last three starts. And, he walks a little bit. Big thing is when there's traffic on the base paths, can you get to him some? But he's been really strong, and they needed that. When Scherzer and Strasburg were out, Corbin was struggling. John Lester wasn't very good. Poor Eric Fetty pitched his best game against Diamondbacks and got in the COVID list. So he had to deal with that and came back and was really strong.
You know, pump the brakes. Everyone pitches well against the Diamondbacks. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's confidence. Well, like he's objectively in control. You know what I mean? Like it wouldn't matter what team
as he should be. Correct.
Yeah, he was in control of the game. So, and then Vince Velasquez, I mean, you know, God, he's been a Philly for how long?
6 years. 6 years for Vinny Velo. And I didn't want him back. And the only reason we're seeing him start in this rotation again this year is because they went out and signed Chase Anderson and Matt Moore and neither worked out. And they basically figured that out within 4 to 6 weeks. Now between COVID protocol and injuries and just flat out poor performance, those guys have basically been knocked out of the rotation. The back end of this rotation has become Velasquez. And you're not going to see it in this series, but the Spencer Howard piggyback approach, where Spencer Howard, who was the Phillies' top pitching prospect, is a starter in this rotation, but can only go 3 to 4 innings because his velocity just falls off. And they're also trying to kind of load manage his innings a little bit. So they do this piggyback thing where they bring in Ranger Suarez, who's been pretty good, or Bailey Falter, who just got recalled last week. And they basically pitch them another 3 innings behind them. So combined, it's like a respectable start almost. Now, we could sit here and debate the merits of that, of whether that's a long-term solution or just something they're doing here in the short term. I actually did a whole episode on it last week. But Velasquez, look, he's not anything special. He's coming off the game the other night in against the Giants. 4 innings, 3 earned runs. He doesn't go that deep into games. His stuff isn't... command has often been an issue with him. He walked 4 guys in 4 innings in this game. His ERA last time we spoke was significantly low. Maybe it was just a couple of weeks ago. I mean, his ERA was down to 3. It got down to 2.95 at one point. I'm looking here at the history. As of May 25th, he had pitched 6 innings, no runs against the Marlins. He got that ERA down to 2.95. He then comes back the following start, allows 6 runs in 3 innings against the Reds. He allowed 3 runs in 4 innings against the Nationals. 2 runs in 5 innings against the Yankees, and then 3 runs in 4 innings against the Giants. He can't go that deep into games. He has the tendency to walk a lot of guys. You have to have a quick hook with him. But that's what we got going here in game 2. And believe it or not, he is a better option than Anderson or Moore. It's just kind of unfortunate that, and upsetting as someone who watches this team day in and day out, that's your best option. That the drop off from the top 3 in your rotation to Velasquez, who's in year 6 and you know what he is, and Spencer Howard, who can't go more than 3 to 4 innings and you have to bring in a reliever behind him to make it work. Like, that's your other 2 out of 5 days.
I want to go specific here with my prediction. I'm going to say split. I usually predict.
Well, that's an easy, that's a coward's prediction.
I think Zach Wheeler gets the better of Max Scherzer this time around, because Max got the better of him last time. And then I think Eric Fetty, continues to pitch okay, and I think the Nationals win the second game of the series. So I'm going split. That's how it's going to happen. What do you have?
So that's a coward's prediction, but I'm going to predict the same thing.
I'm predicting I predicted specifically how it would happen. That's
I know, but it's so easy to say they'll split.
I said specifically. Hold on, I went specifically how it would happen.
I do happen to agree with you. Zach Wheeler right now is a point in television here in Philadelphia. He has been tremendous. Now, the Phillies don't always – they did win the game last week where he actually got the best of Clayton Kershaw, and that's no knock on Clayton Kershaw. Just Wheeler, not even with his best stuff, goes 6 innings scoreless, I believe it was, and they get good performances out of the bullpen. They salvage one game out in L.A. I could see this game going similar. I think he'll have a bounce-back performance because that's what he's done. Bounce-back performance from 6 innings, no runs, by the way, is a pretty high bar, right? I agree with you. I think the Phillies, I like the Phillies in the first game against Zach Wheeler. You know, the Phillies have been 500 14 times this season. I believe that leads the majors, right? 14 separate times they've been 500. They win this game on Tuesday. That will be the 15th time they're 500. So just based upon that alone, I think they get back to it. Aggressively average. They have a strong commitment to being average. If this is a bit, then they're really sticking to it here, and you got to respect them for that. And then you're right. I don't think they're going to – I could very well see them just coming back the next day. Velasquez will allow 3 to 4 runs, and the offense won't show up at all. Like, I could see an offensive output because this team hits and just plays overall better at home. I could see a lot of runs on Tuesday and then you wrap around that Wednesday day game. By the way, these quick series that are like over the two game series where one's a day game, it almost barely feels like it constitutes as a series because the team's in and out in like 24 hours. And you're just playing, it's like you're just playing like a doubleheader over the course of 2 days, it more so feels like. So I think they get one, they come back the next day. Offense is incredibly lackluster. Velasquez doesn't get shelled, but he's out in four or five innings, probably allows three or four runs. And you're right, Fetty will go like seven innings, allow two, and they'll lose a game like 5-2, or they'll lose a game 5-1, something like that. So I will agree with you. I think Phillies win the first, get back to 500 for, again, what I believe is the 15th time this season, lose game two. And then they got a big series coming up within the division. And I'm going to have to test out this theory you had with Ryan about, so the Phillies have a four game series up in New York this weekend.
He has to decline your invite.
So do you know when he isn't available so I can offer that
time?
He was doing a
recap of the Cubs guys. So that's why I couldn't get him. That is why I could not. Also,
so
I'm going to ask
what time he can.
Potentially the forecast tomorrow night in Philadelphia. So there is a chance we play two on Wednesday. Just saying.
I know the Mets have a couple doubleheaders this week.
Right.
The Phillies have a doubleheader on Friday. So the last thing they need is to like backlog, have two consecutive off days, doubleheader Wednesday, off day Thursday, doubleheader Friday, and then two with the Mets. That's a huge Mets series, by the way, for a Phillies team currently sitting four games back of the Mets and in second place as we sit here today. It's hard to really label the importance of a series in June. You know, we're just sitting here talking about how there's always time to be made up, but the Phillies and Mets have already played what, 9-10 games this season? I'm blanking and I'm looking at the schedule right now. Like they don't have a ton of games.
They played a bunch. Yeah.
You would expect them to have at least a home and home with them in September. They don't, they go to Citi Field for three games in September. And I think they have one more home series with them left in August. So they're going to have six games left with the Mets. That's right, because one got rained out. So after this series in New York this weekend, the Phillies are going to have six games left with the Mets, who, as we mentioned earlier, are in first place, sustaining countless injuries this season, and they still sit at the top of the division. It may be an unrealistic feat, but is it ridiculous to say that the Phillies like need to find a way to win three or four in New York?
No, I mean, you could say that, sure, but you know, to me,
I don't think it's going to happen.
To me, it's the day-to-day. It's what is important. You know, it's sure the three
of course it is,
but
like that's head-to-head, and they just don't have a lot of, they're not going to have a lot of games in hand. And by the way, the loss column is six games because the Mets still have games to be made up here. Now you hope that they split a bunch of these doubleheaders and that's where you make up ground, but it's just going to be a lot of, if the Phillies actually want to be in contention for this division, which I believe to be their best route at making the playoffs here, just because there are strong teams, especially out in the NL West. And I'm looking at a team like the Brewers who have 40 wins, the Cubs have 40 wins. Like I don't see a wild card spot coming out of the NL East, which is funny because at the beginning of the season, we all thought this is where the division that could very likely have multiple playoff teams, in addition to the NL West. The Giants have been a surprise. The Cubs and Brewers have been kind of duking it out there at the top of the NL Central. They're tied as we sit here today. It's just going to be very difficult to go through the second half of a season constantly, your goal being trying to catch the team in front of you and not having as many games as you would like at the end of the season. And you're going to look back and kick yourselves for not winning more games when you had the opportunity in April, May, and June. Just because these games are scheduled in June, I don't think it loses importance just because of where it is on the schedule, because you don't have these games. In a perfect schedule, in my opinion, would be played in September, but they're not. They're pushed up to June. So you have to treat them almost like September games.
Yeah, no, I see where you come from. Dan, I always appreciate talking to you. Where can people find you and your work?
Yeah, of course. Locked on Phillies at @LO_Phillies. Make sure you're subscribed on Twitter at @Dan_Wilson4. As I mentioned, producer at 94 WIP here in Philadelphia, host of Locked on Phillies. Also a part-time baseball coach now. I've actually been doing this for a little bit. I don't know if I told you about this. So I I've been doing actually for a while now, some private lessons on the side, you know, teaching America's youth, America's pastime, the fundamentals, how to throw, how to hit anywhere from ages 8 to 11. I've been throwing some batting practice recently. And then this weekend, I'm helping coach a team here in the Philly area called Philadelphia Prime, a 9 and under travel team. Me and a couple of my friends are doing it, kind of a coaching reunion. My senior project in high school was coaching baseball. And now the same, me and the same two other kids are making a return to the coaching field. So I'm going to be out there. I'm not planning on being too much of a hardo, but I do play to win the game. I have my scorebook all ready to go. And you better believe I'll be making some double switches with 9-year-olds this Saturday and Sunday.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. All right, Dan, appreciate your time, man.
Talk of course. Always fun, Josh.
That's going to do it for today's Locked On Phillies episode. Special thank you to Josh Neighbors for, of course, hopping on, always recording these very fun Locked On Phillies, Locked On Nationals crossover episodes. Again, only a two-game series in less than 24 hours. Tonight you got Scherzer and Wheeler, and tomorrow it will be a 105-day start with Vince Velasquez going up against Eric Fetty. Again, that will do it for today's episode of Locked On Phillies. Stay tuned for more episodes later in the week.